Let's turn to John 21. We're in our lessons, which are rather lengthy. We've been studying about Luke for 3 years now. And Luke wrote, as you know, two books in the Bible, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, which comprise pretty much a chronological history of things from the birth of John the Baptist till the time the Apostle Paul was held prisoner in Rome for 2 years. And recently we talked about 3 days that would kind of be like mountain peak importance days. One was the day when Jesus died on the cross. More importantly, and probably a taller little peak, if you could even think of it like that, because the day Jesus died on the cross was up there. It's got to be the prominent. But the day he rose from the dead's right up there too. That was 3 days later. And then the day of Pentecost, 50 days after that, that's another peak day. And there's 40 days in between the day Jesus rose from the dead to where he was ascended up on high. And that during that 40 days, he made a lot of appearances. If you'll, I had you turn to John 21, but if you look over to Acts 1, you'll find in verse 3 that Jesus also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. It doesn't say off and on for 40 days. He was seen of them for 40 days. And we talked in our Sunday school classes here a few months back. On the day of his resurrection, he made 5 appearances. And then we've been discussing some other appearances he made that are recorded in Scripture. But what we read here in Acts 1:3, you have to know that he made a lot of appearances. When did he appear to his brother James? Or his brother Jude? We'll discuss that in future lessons if the Lord tarries. In John 21, we find the Apostle John writing about one time during these 40 days when Jesus appeared to the 7 who'd gone fishing. Peter had said, "I'll go fishing." And there 6 of them said, "Well, we'll go with you." They didn't pray about it. They just went fishing. And true to form, they didn't catch anything. And then Jesus appeared unto them. And he was really appeared unto all 7 of them, but he was really trying to get the attention of Peter more than anybody. And Peter was close to John, probably closest to John than the rest of them. And the Apostle John, I think he outlived all the other apostles by a long shot. But he didn't write anything for about 60-some years. And then he wrote 5 books that we have in New Testament Scripture. 5 is a number of grace. He told us how Jesus came full of grace and truth. He told how he got to be with him for 3.5 years or so. And I think he had to kind of pinch himself after even these 60 years and say, "You know, I was with him for 3.5 years. I mean, I laid my head on his breast. I felt his breath. I heard everything he told us. And I haven't had trouble putting it on pen and paper to write it down because there's so many things that he did. There's so many things he did that I witnessed. That there's not enough ink or paper in the world to contain everything that just myself witnessed. And what has the Lord done in your life write it down. You can't, because you don't realize all the things he's done for you. How he kept you from this thing and that thing, and how he took you through this thing and that thing. We have no idea. We can't hardly imagine how much he loves us, right? But we're here, and we want to hear about it. And we know he does. And we communicate with him. I do, all the time, all day long, all night long. I pray for the different ones that need prayer. All of you, you're in my prayers. We all have prayer requests. We all have needs. I can't help your need. I can't. I wish I could, but I know who can. So that's a lot of words to say where we're at, but that's some good thoughts in there. This is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. He's amplified, magnified in what we have here for us. And I had you turn to John 21. That was that one day when Peter and the seven went fishing. And they didn't catch any fish, but Jesus had prepared a meal for them. And when they had dined, in verse 15, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, and you know the other six were all ears. They were probably breathing a sigh of relief that he didn't single them out. But Peter, remember, he was maybe the oldest of these apostles, and he was always the first to have something to say. Then he thought about it later, like, I shouldn't have said that, you know. I kind of know how that is. And you know what I'm talking about if you know me very well. So when he dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these others? He said unto him, Peter said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Well, Peter, he didn't always get it the first time. So the second time, we find is in verse 16, Jesus, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Peter probably kind of blinked a couple times like, okay. Verse 17. Jesus, he saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. So, as I was doing my studies today, or for today, and we talked about this last time, how that we learn by precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. And we learn studying the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus, who came to us full of grace and truth. And I want you to turn to Ephesians 4:15 for a second. And the Word of God, in one thought additional that emphasizes the importance of the Word of God, consider the word grow. The word grow is found 37 times in Scripture. 37 is the number associated with the Word of God. Our Apostle Paul writes the word grow once. That's in Ephesians 4:15, where he says, But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to grow up into him in all things. Grow. That's the only time he uses the word grow. Peter, he wrote two epistles. Paul wrote 14. Peter, in his two epistles, he writes the word grow twice. Both of these guys were inspired of the Holy Ghost to write what they wrote. And go to 1 Peter 2 to start with. And so the Holy Ghost inspired Peter to write the last two of the 37 times we find the word grow in Scripture. And as Peter wrote this, we got to remember the instructions that Jesus gave him there that we just read in John 21, to feed my lambs and to feed my sheep. So Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, little baby lambs, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Oh, feed my lambs, that's how you do it. He realized that's how you feed my lambs. It took the power of the Holy Ghost in Peter's life to get him to this point. And that would come on the day of Pentecost, some days down the road from where we are in John 21. But I want you to think of this verse like this. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God that ye may grow spiritually thereby. And of course, we all know people that have no spiritual growth, but we want not to be one of them. We want to grow spiritually. So we need to desire the sincere milk of the word of God. And we can all, no matter how long we've been here, get something out of the sincere milk of the word of God. And then in 2 Peter 3:18, that's that little scripture that's referenced on the front steps in the concrete work out there. 2 Peter 3:18. Here Peter wrote how to feed my sheep when he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How do we learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How do we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, one way, of course, is to say the word of God. But another way is to come here and listen to as many of the services as you can. Those of you who are out of town, and there's as many out of town as are here that watch these services or listen to them, you know that you learn something from these lessons. You learn something from the teaching and from the preaching that goes on here. And I don't care who's giving it, you'll learn something. So as we read back in John 21, these instructions that Jesus gave Peter, you got to realize he was also instructing the other six disciples present. Go back to Luke 22 for a moment. But here in John 21, as you turn to Luke 22, Peter was the guy on the hot seat. He earned that position to be on the hot seat, Peter did, from all the things he had to say all the time, you know? And Jesus in Luke 22:32, and we'll get there in a minute, he pointed out to Peter that Peter would be the apostle prominently used to strengthen the other kingdom apostles. It says in Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for thee, Jesus is telling Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted or turned back around from where way you're thinking, strengthen thy brethren. How's he going to do that? It ain't by following Peter. It's by following Christ. And the word strengthened here, we talked about it before. It comes from the Greek word stearizo. It's number 4741 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it means to establish, to strengthen, to make firm, to make stable, to establish, to place firmly, to set fast, and to fix. So Peter was instructed by the Lord Jesus to strengthen thy brethren. Go back to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we find Peter himself when he wrote 1 Peter 5:10. He used this same Greek word, stearizo, where it is translated establish. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The Holy Ghost inspired Peter to use a different word for strengthen here. It's number 4599 in the Strong's Greek, is stethino. And it's found only this one time in Scripture. And it speaks to the strengthening of one's soul. So the thought of how this can be accomplished is also expressed by our Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13. Turn there. I know you'll find it underlined in your Bible when you get there. Philippians 4:13, Paul writes, "I can do a lot of things." No, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But he couldn't do nothing in himself. He knew that. And neither can we. So Jesus Christ, we know, is indeed the Word of God. And thus we find how Peter also strengthened his brethren, encouraged their souls. It was by also pointing them to the Word of God, who is Christ, which strengtheneth his followers. So as we go back to John 21 and progress through the steps here, and what's written down, Peter in John 21 was not yet fully equipped to strengthen his brethren. Oh, they followed him, some of them. They went fishing with him. But what'd they get out of it? A sleepless night, no fish. But Peter at this point in time was not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. But when Peter was full of the Holy Ghost, he truly did strengthen his brethren. So then we find that Peter then was able to feed my lambs and feed my sheep by the leading power and guidance of the Holy Ghost. Let's move on here in John 21, 18. Jesus is talking to Peter. And he continues here and he says, and these are red letter words in verse 18. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Verse 19. And John writes, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." We'll finish this verse reading it, but we'll go back and talk about this. "And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me." So we find in this portion that Jesus wasn't yet finished bringing Peter to a remembrance of what Peter had said. And I want you to go back to Luke 22 again. We'll read the whole context. We read part of it a moment ago. Luke 22. And Peter, the Lord's bringing to Peter's remembrance what he'd said and what Peter had bragged about concerning how Peter thought he himself ready to die for the Lord. And this statement is found in Luke, starting in 22, Luke 22, 33. But we'll start in verse 31, Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto Peter, he said unto him, Lord, I, Peter, being of a really boisterous spirit, that's what it means here, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord, he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast shalt thrice deny that thou hast known me. Peter was the one who proclaimed that he was ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Well, what we just read there in John 21, 18 and 19, you can go back there. Here the Lord pulls back the curtain of Peter's future for a moment, and tells him, signifying by what death he should glorify God in verse 19. The Lord had told Peter here in John 21, 18, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So Peter is being told that when he is old, he will die an unnatural death, being carried by force into a place he does not want to go and die. Peter is not told how old he would be when this would happen. I remember Sister Hill telling us that the Lord had told her when she would die. But she couldn't remember when that was. The Lord had took that from her memory. She knew when that was going to happen. She told Sue and I. But she can remember when it was going to happen. So what do you want to know about your future? The Lord can tell you, but you might have to erase some things from your memory. You know. And he didn't tell Peter how old he'd be when he would die. And in John 21:19, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John adds that Jesus spoke this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And so since John wrote this around 90 AD, it seems to me that John would have heard how Peter had died. And historians have Peter dying during the reign of Nero. And Nero died in 68 AD. So Peter died before Nero did. History records that Peter died somewhere between years 64 and 68 AD. Tradition, which I don't really like to follow tradition, but tradition claims that Peter died by crucifixion and his cross was hung upside down. Now, whether this is true or not, only God knows. History, however, verifies that the death of Peter certainly glorified God as Peter's fame continues on today. You can hear people talk about Peter during the course of a week. You can hear about Peter talk, people talk about Moses during the course of a week. You can even hear people talk about Jesus during the course of a week. And what Peter is famous for is for being a witness of Jesus Christ as our risen Savior had stated in Luke 22 or 24, 48, and we are witnesses of these things. And we are witnesses of, and ye are witnesses of these things. The Lord told his disciples on the night of his resurrection of what they were to do, and that ye are witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of those years I spent with you. You're witnesses of these things. And of course, Peter did go on to witness all of this, and we'll talk about that in future lessons if the Lord tarries. We must here also acknowledge what a tender, loving Savior we have. And did Peter here really appreciate being shown by what death he should glorify God? You read through that and look at it. Yeah, that went right over his head. And but in the days ahead, and especially after being filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter embraced his foreordained path that he was to walk. And praise the Lord, we too are benefiting from the lessons Peter learned and the lessons Peter taught. And then John 21:19 ends with this specific encouragement stated unto Peter by our risen Savior. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now we have identified Peter as the leader of the pack of the kingdom apostles. And if Peter followed Christ, the Lord knew the rest of them would also. I want you to go back to Matthew 4. We're going to read verses 18 through 20. We're going back when Peter first met Jesus, about 3+ years in time beyond, before our story of John 21. Matthew 4:18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now in John 21, Peter had been following Jesus since the day Peter had first met Jesus. And then at this moment in time, Jesus repeats the same words he told him initially, follow me. There are exactly 19 verses in Scripture where we find the phrase, follow me. You would think there'd be more, but 19 is the number that has to do with faith. 10 of these follow me statements are made by Jesus. 10 is a number of responsibility according to ability. So we follow Jesus. We follow the leading of the Lord. How? We're not physically there with him. We do it by faith. That's why it's written in 19 verses. Follow me. The subject of faith we know is highlighted in Hebrews 11. And we find this statement in Hebrews 11:6, which you all can quote and remember. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that, A, he is, and B, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is where we find our instructions on how to become a New Testament disciple. full overcomer, a New Testament worthy of faith, which is our responsibility according to ability to follow Christ, to diligently seek him, and how to follow after Christ is by faith. Peter, think about this. We have time for this. Peter and the other kingdom apostles had for more than 3 years followed Jesus. They had followed him step by step in the flesh. But here in John 21:19, Jesus was emphasizing to Peter and the rest to continue to follow me. And at this point in time, it hadn't really dawned on Peter how he was going to continue to do this, how he was going to continue following Jesus. For now, Jesus was no longer physically present with him. Oh, he was here for a moment in time here in John 21, but he's now risen from the dead. They had an opportunity that you and I never had to follow Christ, and they did. But they didn't follow him by faith. They followed him by his actions. So in order to for Peter to continue following Jesus, he would have to do so by faith. It would take the leading and guiding of the Holy Ghost for Peter and the other apostles to continue to follow me as Jesus instructed Peter here in John 21:19. Peter and the other disciples had truly followed Jesus, and went everywhere Jesus had gone during his earthly ministry, which was the unique opportunity they had these past 3+ years of their lives. How about the Old Testament saints? How did they walk with God? By faith. But for Peter and his fellow disciples to continue to follow me as Jesus instructed from this point forward in their lives, it would be different for them. And yet, nevertheless, they were to continue to follow me, Jesus said. Luke documented in the first 12 chapters of Acts how Peter and the other kingdom apostles did follow Jesus. And once they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the leading of the Lord by the power of the Holy Ghost was mighty in their lives. Read those chapters. Tell me it wasn't mighty in their lives. And go to Acts 4:33. It's just a couple pages past where we are. This will back up what I just said. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Truly, they learned how to follow Jesus when he wasn't physically there. He was still with them. Didn't he say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? That's true for all believers, okay? We've been talking about how to follow Jesus. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 11, and as you're turning there, for you and me, we are given the following instructions by our apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And these instructions of Paul's truly align with Jesus' instructions to Peter to follow me, and which we read in John 21:19. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Go back a few pages in 1 Corinthians 4:16. Paul, again, had already written him this. "Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me." And then go to Philippians 3:17. Might be your favorite verse in the scripture. I don't know. I know for some people it is. Philippians 3:17. These words of Philippians were written to the race course running saints of Philippi. And Paul encouraged the race course runners with these words in Philippians 3:17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk as ye have us for an ensample," or an example. And then go back to 1 Thessalonians 1. And that's the very first epistle that Paul wrote. He wrote to this church of Thessalonians the following, starting in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Whenever you read the word Macedonia, think of Philippi. Okay? How did the Thessalonians follow Paul? They didn't literally follow him everywhere he went. They followed his example of faith, just as he wrote about in Hebrews 13:7. Go there, Hebrews 13:7. There's some things we're to remember, and I forget what they are, but Scripture helps us. Here's one of them. Hebrews 13:7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life." I guess we run out of time. This would be a good place to pick up next time. We're talking about how to follow the Lord. Okay?